If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today, God, and help us, Lord, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand. Look up right now and say, whoo! I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments. Subject I think we really need. See, I preached a message one time. God gave me. Alex came through the living room wearing a T-shirt. And he was headed to school. He went to a Christian school, and they were very picky about what you could wear to church there or to school there. And it was a church where they was having school. And he comes strolling through the house, and all I saw was the front of the shirt, and it said, "Don't fight naked." I said, "Well, what is that?" And he spun around on the back. It said, Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. And, of course, that was acceptable there, but that became a title of one of my messages. I based it on a story of a friend of mine who pastors the Luverne Church of God now. He was in the first desert storm, and he was a logistics driver, and he'd carried some supplies all the way into Kuwait City. And he said, where we were at, we were just a few blocks from where the Iraqis were. And he said, I pulled in, told him, said, I want to get out of here. I don't want to stay here tonight. Guy said, ain't no problem. They never come down the road. They just stand up there, and every once in a while they'll shoot this way or start something, and we'll shoot back, and they quit. And he said, they never come down here. He said, you'll be all right. And he said, it was getting dark, and we didn't want to go down the road in the dark. So the guy in charge said, we'll just stay here tonight. He said, we'll just sleep on the back of our trucks. If anything starts, we'll get in the trucks and take off. He said, then it hit me right before I went to bed that they had 52 newbies in camp that night. Those of you know what that is, it's the guys that are there just like him, first time to really be in a place like this, and they're just as scared as he is, only they can't get in the truck and run. And he said, they're all anxious. I said, they go to bed. And he said, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the sergeant come running out, firing a gun in the air, going, get your position, get your position. And he said, they did. He said, every one of them had, some had helmets, some didn't, some had knives, some a pistol. Said a couple of them had their rifles, but most of them jumped out to fight with very little to fight with. And he said, the sergeant walked around, he said, guys, if there'd been Kuwaitis or Iraqis coming this way, we'd be in a mess right now. And you know, I thought about us as Christians. When we go to war, we do not always have the implements we need to fight with. This morning's message, I'm simply going to title, The Believer's Sword. Amen. Ephesians 6:17 said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I asked last week, those of you that would, to sign up, if you will. There's a thing on the paper out there that tells you where to go to sign up online. If you can go online or fill the paperwork out, send it to state office, that you would try to read the Bible through next year. This is something the Church of God's taken an initiative on because they want us to get the Word of God going again in the house of the Lord. I want to be honest with you, church. We spent enough time trying to get prayer back into school and trying to get the schools to turn a certain way. I believe God's tired of all that. He's ready for us to start praying in the church and getting our nose back in a book and begin to call on His name And when we do that, I believe those schools will take care of themselves, because I believe what the Bible said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear in heaven and then I'll heal their land. There will never be a healing in our land until the church decides we want a healing in us. And that means we've got to turn our face toward God and begin to call on him. Could you say amen? Amen. This is Proverbs 13 and 13. Who despises the word that shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? We've got to get to that place where we understand I need the presence of God in my life. And for that to happen, I've got to follow the call of God to hide the word of God in my heart that it can become a light into my path. Could you say amen? Listen, you say, well, you're preaching to the choir. The wisest man ever lived made this statement in Proverbs chapter 5, and this is not back there because I just thought about it. In the 12th verse, and he said, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. And I have not obeyed the voice of the teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'm not listening to what they got to say. I got my own opinion. You know what's wrong with most of you? You're too busy with your opinion instead of God's opinion. And you need to get a hold of God's word and lose your opinions. Glory. One more time. You know what's wrong with a lot of you? I'm going to keep on to you. Either say amen on me or something. But some of y'all are like, oh, I don't like this. I don't care anymore. I'm sick of you telling me this is what I believe. I don't care what you believe anymore. This book is all we need to understand. This book is what we'll be judged by. This book is what will give us victory. This book is what will set us free. Everybody's got an opinion, but it ought to be based on what this book says. And if this book says your opinion's wrong, change it. Don't make me repeat every sentence. I got some of y'all looking at me again like I need to go again. You're not a calf looking at the new gate. This is not nothing new. You just need to start listening to it. Glory. The modern day thinking is whatever I think goes. No, it isn't. God's word still as real as it was 2,000 years ago. And when judgment comes, your opinion ain't going to get you across the gate. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. But notice something else. Here is what happens when you don't listen to the word. Here's what happened is when you despise the truth of God's word. In the 14th verse, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Yeah, preacher, I don't know what's wrong. Every time I turn around, something blows up in my life. Could it be you have not obeyed the word and you've not put the word in your heart, and so the enemy's attacking and you don't have the ability to fight back, and you keep getting knocked down and you keep getting tore up? And you say, preacher, what are you saying? Look, problems are going to happen. Trouble's going to come. But some of you, it's almost like a daily basis. Hello? I want to tell you, the only way you're going to ever stop that from happening is get the word of God in your heart and realize when Jesus fought Satan in the wilderness, he did not come against him with a railing accusation. Every time the devil pointed and said, do this, Jesus said, it is written. And he fought him with the very thing we have to fight. And the word of God is our sword that will give us victory. Woo. Listen, he said, those that feareth. You know, church, fear is a bad thing unless you're talking about the fear of God. That simply means I respect him because he is worthy of my respect. I fear him not because I'm afraid of him, but because I'm in such awe of who he is. Amen. Two times I know of in the Old Testament, the Bible said our God's a terrible God. That ain't what he's talking about. That word properly instated simply doesn't just mean terrible. It says awesome. Amen. You know what he was saying? My God's an awesome God. Amen. I'll never forget, I was in New York preaching, and I got on the subway one morning, which is really not a smart thing to do when you're in a suit, but I was on my way and I needed to get somewhere. And I don't know if you understand this, but in the city, that's a long walk from where I was to where I needed to be. And for a dollar, I could ride free. You know, didn't have to walk. I just sit and go one side of town to the other. And I know it's not smart, but y'all been around me. I don't always make smart choices about whether or not I'm going to be scared of somebody or something. And I get on the subway, and sure enough, I end up, because the subway is shut down part of it, they drop me off on 163rd Street. And y'all know where that's at? Harlem. Now I have got a problem, because they made me get off the subway. I'm going, can I not just ride? No, this store's been shut down. You got to get off. And I get off, and there's a guy out there going, we got to kill Whitey. Whitey's got to be thrown in the river. He was a Black Panther. That is an organization, not a person. Glory. And I'm standing there looking around, and I'm thinking, I'm the only one they could practice on. Suddenly, I noticed these gang guys, and one of them's walking up, pulling my coat out, going, I like that coat. I believe I can wear that coat. What he didn't know was I've been to give him that coat. And anything else he wanted, long as I was alive when I left. Hello? And the train pulled in going the other way, and the guard stepped out, and that boy stepped back, and I jumped on that train, and you ain't never seen a happy fella in your life. We boogied down through there a few more blocks, but see, I was actually going into Eastern Harlem or Spanish Harlem is where I was headed. I got off the subway, and I start down the street, and I look up, and here comes a guy wearing colors down the back alley I'm having to walk down to cut across to get to the street I want to be on. And all I could think is, I'm robbed, sure, as I'm standing here now, because they own the territory. Ain't nobody going to help me. And this guy's about 6'2", about 220. And let's face it, he's been fighting all his life. He's bad. And he come walking up to me, and I got my Bible, and I'm hanging on to it. And all of a sudden, he looked down, and he said, he bad, ain't he? I said, yes, sir. He just kept right on going. I was like, I feel better now. Glory. Amen. You know why? He saw the sword in my hand, and he realized there was something to it, and he respected the word of God. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Listen, there are three things that make the word become part of the things that makes the word come out of the sword. Ephesians 5, 25, 26. You know, we read this, and we think it's more about marriage. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. I think God was more talking about the church being purified and made ready through the washing of the water, which is the word. Amen. Now, some of you kids don't know what a bath is. Oh, y'all take showers. Very few people take baths anymore. We've got a garden tub in our bathroom, and I don't think water's been in it since we moved in. I've seen Frieda back there washing her feet in it every once in a while, but I mean really getting in and taking a bath. We take showers. When I was a kid, you took a bath in a tub in the backyard. And you didn't want to be lashed. Somebody said, last? Yeah, everybody took a bath in the same tub. See some of y'all now going, oh, no. That's why there used to be the saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because the baby was always last. And if it got down under the water, you're liable to chunk it out and not realize the baby's in there. Hello? Y'all think I'm kidding? Look it up. I found that in an encyclopedia. Glory. I never got thrown out. I got lost a few times in there. Glory. It was a big number, big old wash tub, probably what we would call a horse trough now. You'd fill it up water and get out and bathe. And you know, back then, if you washed your hair, you had to put your head underwater. You had to be immersed. You know, that's one of the problems we have with the word. We like to wash him, but we don't like to immerse our head under the water. Hello? But if we don't get our head in, the head never really gets the word. But now notice this, it's also just the cleansing by dipping or submerging to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself. Amen. Also to be overwhelmed. Because when your head gets under the water and the word begins to get in, something happens to your mind. It's called the renewing of the mind. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, you got no scripture for that, Ephesians 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in holiness. What did he say? He said, you get rid of the old man and you put on a new man. And then you hear Paul saying, old things have passed away, all things have become new. Why? Because there's a renewing of my mind. I've no longer got stinking thinking. If your first option in your brain is to do something that is sin, you need to get your brain back in the water of the Word. Hello? That's good preaching. Y'all better hurry up. It's going to take me all day to preach this thing if I have to keep repeating this. Glory. Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Glory. What are you talking about? Faith comes when the Spirit of God makes that word more than just an ecclesiastical or written word. And all of a sudden you're reading and it's as if God speaks to you. And it is that kind of faith that gives you the power to be an overcomer. Could I say amen, church? Quoting scripture will not scare the enemy. But when that scripture comes out of your heart and begins to flow out of your body because it is your life source, the enemy begins to understand there's more to them than just flesh and blood, but there is a spiritual body that can handle anything I throw at him. Come on, church. Praise God. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if I believe that. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. But how do I do it? Be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Say, what are you talking about? Those things I used to think were right are no longer right now because I process them through the power of the Word, and I apply God's Word and God's thoughts to the places in which I am. Woo. Glory. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. This is what's known as abiding in the Word. And what did God's Word tell us in John 15:7? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Notice there's a common thread. The Word of God's tied into every one of these scriptures. Amen. The Word of God's is not just the Word, but it becomes the sword of the Spirit on my behalf only when it comes from our heart. 2 Corinthians 3:16, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the latter, but of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit give life. The Word of God will never be the sword of Spirit on our behalf until it becomes a speaking to us personally before we put it to use in our life. Hello? It must become our life source. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Notice what he said in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. It becomes my life source because that's what I live by. Come on, church. Amen. When you get so hungry for the Word, you can't go all day without reading some of it, hearing some of it. Come on, church. Amen. The Word is a lamp and a light. Psalms 119:104. Though my precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. In the 105th verse it said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is health in the flesh. Proverbs 4:20. It said, my son, attended to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health in their flesh. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We get in the word. We quit having to pay his doctor bills. Come on, church. Notice I said we. I'm out nearly $6,000 so far this year, and we're still going downhill. Glory. Amen. That's why I've been putting the word on every night when I go to bed and listening to it while I'm asleep. Glory. Amen. The only time I have a problem is when I roll over because that line ain't long enough. Glory. Between it and the cat, I'm pretty much stuck in the same position all night. Glory. Amen. The word is food to the spirit. Jeremiah said, thy word we are found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word is milk to a baby. 1 Peter 2:2, a newborn baby desires the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. But some of you need to throw your bottle away. You've been sucking milk of the word long enough. You need to grow up. The Bible tells me in Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word of God can become a devouring fire. Jeremiah said, because you speak the word, behold, I will make the words of your mouth like fire, and that the people that listen are wood, and ye shall devour them. Could you say amen to that, church? Say, what are you talking about? You need to get to the place where when you talk to people, they'll have the same thing that they said about Jesus. Did our hearts not burn within us while he spoke to us about the word? Could you? Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. The word is divinely inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. That word inspiration comes from the Greek word theonoustos, which simply means the breath of God. So God breathed the word that we read in this book. The word is saving power. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, first to the Jew and also to the Gentile. The word is also life. John 6:63, for the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there's got to be a connector that we cannot leave out. If you want God's word to be the sword of the spirit in you, something you have to do. You have to put it inside deep in your heart. The Bible said, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How many of y'all understand your heart and your mind's the same thing? It's not in your body, but in the spirit world it is. Thank God your heart and your mind ain't the same thing your body. Be kind of rough. Connect them two. I had to do something. Some of y'all didn't even react yet. There's a couple of y'all I believe glued your mouth down because you're straining an awful lot of muscle, because if you just relax, you'll grin. Glory. Amen. See, I told you. One of them just smiled at me. Glory. Amen. Listen, church, the reality is God has promised us that if we would just listen to his word, we would have power and grace. This is what he tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. For the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall he make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. I hear the word of God in Psalms 1 said, oh, yeah, he said, oh, you got to listen. Psalms chapter 1, David talking about it. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the way of the sinner, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And what's going to happen to him? He is going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that's going to be fruitful in its due season. Church, it's time some of us realize the only way we're ever going to do anything in this world is put this word in us, bury it deep inside of us. Let it become our life source. And when we do, God is going to change us forever. Could you say amen? The word that promises life and health are those words that come out of our heart. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to the words and incline mine ears to thy saying. Let them depart not thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health in their flesh. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's time we understand. Jesus used the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, to defeat the devil. He did everything he did good using God's word. He healed the sick with God's word. He cast out devils with God's word. He cursed the fig tree with God's word. He raised the dead with God's word. But all the God's word spoken out of the abundance of his heart or his spirit, they became power. They became life. They could overcome death. I was asked this question at least once in the last week. How do I overcome the enemy that is attacking me? This is the last scripture, so y'all about to get delivered. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Listen to what the word of God said. Jehoshaphat's taken over the kingdom. The kingdom is nowhere near God. They've been worshiping Baal. They've been following other gods. He tore down all the high places in the groves. He sent men out through the kingdom. And if you want to read it in the 8th verse, he gives you the name of the guys. But he sent priests. He sent teachers. And notice what happened. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? When they got the word in their heart, the enemies around were filled with fear because there was something in them they could not contend with. Hello? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? How do I handle the enemy coming against me? Put the word of God in your heart. Bury it deep in your soul. And when the devil knocks on your door, open the door and resist him. So what are you talking about? Do like Jesus did. Turn the stones to bread. Hit him. It's written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. Oh, well, wait a minute. I'll take you up on the temple, cast yourself down, even quoted some scripture to him that you might not dash your foot lest they bear you up. And he turned around and said, it's also written, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, but why don't you worship me and I give you everything? Isn't it dumb to try to offer the guy that made everything back what he had already made? Amen. And all of a sudden he looked at him, he said, thou shalt worship because it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You got to get him with the word, and unless you got the word in you, you cannot fight the battle. You cannot overcome the enemy. But if you'll take the sword of the Spirit and let it become a reality to your life, it'll change you. It'll renew your mind. It'll take your thinking and turn it toward God's thinking. You won't have to wear a bracelet. What would Jesus do? The word will tell you what Jesus would have done. Could you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. I met a man in New York several years ago. By my standards, he was weird. He's a great man of God, but there wasn't nothing that guy wouldn't pull to get a crowd. See, in New York, you couldn't have a meeting out on the street. Anybody's ever told you they had a street meeting in New York, lied to you. David Wilkerson tried it and ended up in jail. Then he found out you could have a political meeting. So he'd take a flag out there and hold it, stand under the flag, and preach Jesus. Glory. As long as that flag was there, they couldn't arrest him. But if people gathered around you, you could explain to them what you were talking about. And this guy would take his Bible, lay it on the street corner, and go, oh, it's alive, look, it's alive. And the crowd would get up and he'd say, it's the word of God, and it's alive, and it'll change you. Hundreds of people came to know Jesus Christ of that guy pulling that trick. And they couldn't arrest him long as the crowd dispersed in a few moments. And he'd give them a little 10-minute sermonette and then walk them over to the corner and pray them through. Glory. But it is alive. It is life-changing. You will never read this book and walk away from it without feeling something in your life change. I challenge you today to let this become the believer's sword in your hand, in your heart, in your life. Preacher, I just don't know how to read it. How about just opening it up and starting? I know you're going to start tomorrow. I don't know if you ever figured it out or not, but tomorrow don't ever get here. I sat in a restaurant the other day picking at the guy at the restaurant like I always do, and the manager was standing there, and I said, "Is this all you need, Dave?" He said, "That's tomorrow." And he looked, he said, "You know what that means, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, it ain't never going to happen." Because no matter how many times you keep waiting on tomorrow, tomorrow always becomes today. Tomorrow never shows up. You need to get a Bible out. You can't do anything else. Just start reading in Matthew and read. "Oh, Revelation bothers me." Don't read it. Read Matthew down through all the way and stop at Revelation. After you read enough of the other, Revelation won't bother you so much because you quit be worried about all that other stuff. You know, the biggest problem with Revelation is them teachers say, "Now, this is what I think it's saying." Okay. Read it like it's written in the book, and it tells you what was, what is, and what's going to be. It's that simple. We get so hung up, "Oh, what's all them bowls about?" It tells you what each one of them's going to do. But we're so mystified by it. It's a revelation of what's going to happen in the future, but it also gives a little touch of the past. And it deals with the churches. And you ever notice that word was written over 2,000 years ago and it still describes churches today? Glory. I mean, we got some sitting here right now talking about, "Well, I'm a great worker. I do wonderful things." And God said, you know, he told that church, said about 10 things he commended for, but he said, "I got somewhat against you. You don't love me like you used to. You don't read my book like you used to. You don't pray like you used to. You just run around talking about what great things you're doing." Hello? And then we got some, "Oh, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing." He said, "You're wretched, you're blind, you're miserable, you're poor. Because you may have all the stuff this world's got, but you've given up a lot of what you have with me to get it." Come on, church. See, y'all don't want me preaching on Revelation no more. I can tell y'all look at me like, "Man, leave that alone. It's all right there in the book." But here's the one that gets me the most. This is what really lets me know where the church is right now. It is not to a world full of sinners that he wrote this, but he said in the third chapter, "Write to the church, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you just open the door, I'll come in unto you. I'll sup with you. I'll be your God. You can be my people." This is the door. This is the voice of God. This is the answer. It's here in this book if we just read it. Father, we thank you today, God, for your word, for your love, for your mercy. God, I believe you to touch today. Minister with your grace. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.